Yeah, he's an awesome God. He does great and wonderful things. He is the mighty God, the mighty King. And I am so grateful that we know him. And I'm so grateful for that Psalm 91 that Dave went over again with us today. But that Psalm 91 is not going to do you any good unless it's in your heart and you're doing what it says. And I'm going to tell you, if you have any kind of sickness or anything in your body, according to Psalm 91, you're not where you need to be. You're not there. And because God clearly said in his word that if you meet all that criteria that's there, no plague, no sickness, no disease can come to your body. So here's the place where most Christians miss it. If God tells you to put him first and to be in his house, you look at the number of people that call themselves Christians that hardly ever go to church. They don't go to church on Sunday. They don't go to church on Tuesday or Wednesday or Bible study or nothing. They do not put God first. Lord, show me, is there anything that I'm putting besides you? That's a good prayer for every one of us to pray. Because I'll tell you what, there's not one single one of us in this room, including me, that's putting God 100% perfect in everything I do every day. You know, we don't do that, do we? Psalms 91 is not going to do any of us any good unless we do make some changes. But that's just like this merciful God that we serve. If he wasn't merciful, I know one old boy that wouldn't be here today. That's me, you know, because he would have killed me a long time ago. But he is a merciful God, and I'm so grateful that he's a merciful God. Because he's a merciful God, I have repented of sins, and I've stood on his word. The main thing about it is, it's not my faith that gets these things done, but it is my faith in Jesus that gets these things done. I have faith in the one who has the ultimate faith, and that's Jesus. If you get it done, you're going to do it his way and no other way. There's a lot of people that know a lot of scripture that want to walk where God has allowed me to walk. I have had a great privilege, but just like Dave said here a while ago, when he came to me years ago, 8 or 10 years ago, he was sick. Dave had an incurable disease that no doctor could heal. Now then, I want to throw something in right here. Some people, especially doctors, think I give doctors a lot of trouble. But let me tell you, I am grateful that there are some good Christian doctors. Because if there was not some good Christian doctors out there, men and women that will give you what they think will help you, the medication or the drugs, I hate to call them that, but that's what they are. But some of those things do help some people. And we do have some good ones. And there is some doctors out there that not only give you what they think is good for you, but they will pray for you on top of that. And when they pray for you, that's when Jesus really does some work. So I am grateful that there are good Christian doctors. Are you not? Because how many of you in this room have never, ever in your entire life, never seen a doctor for nothing? Is there anybody in here that's never been to a doctor? Okay, you see what I mean. If we didn't have good doctors, would we be in trouble? Have they helped you before? Yes. Why? Because you didn't know Jesus was the healer. You were not walking where God wants you to walk. You were not meeting the requirements of Psalm 91. I'm going to tell you, to this point, I have never met the human being that meets the requirements of Psalms 91. I've never met him. I've never met her. I've met some great godly men and women, but I have never met the person that meets the requirements of Psalm 91. So do we have some work to do? You're going to put God alone? He's going to be your God? Nobody meets that criteria. Nobody. Now, is it a good thing God's merciful? Yeah, if he wasn't, I know a whole bunch of us that would be in trouble today. But he knows our heart, and he knows we're on the way, right? And that's why he's so merciful to us. I'm going to start out in Galatians 5, 13 and 14. And I want you to look and see what Paul has to say. The church is so confused about the Word of God. I mean, I was there. I've been there. You know, I mean, I've been a Christian. I've been a Christian all my life. Well, I've been in church all of my life. I became a Christian when I was 11. And I have walked with God. I've studied His Word. And I'm going to tell you that when I started spending 5 to 15 hours a week, every week for 10 years studying God's Word, then all of a sudden the Word of God began to take on a whole new revelation, a new meaning to me. but I must be extremely slow because it took me 10 years of study to get it. That's what's wrong with us. We don't do that. But I did that. That's a price that not many people's willing to pay. But it's a price I paid, and I'm so glad I paid it, because it has changed multitudes of people's lives. I mean, it set many people free. And I wished everybody could get a hold of the Word like God has revealed the Word to me. When you run into men of God, and I've run into a few really, really good ones. Don't get me wrong. There's some really good men of God in this church. And I've run into a few other places too. Really, really good men of God. But they don't walk in the power. You know, they really don't hardly see their prayers answered. And we see no miracles. You know, until just a few years ago, if you could have asked me as a Southern Baptist, have you ever seen a miracle? I would have said, no. Now, how could that possibly be? Here I am, a son of God. You're a son of God. I am in church every time the doors open. And I'm in the Word studying, but yet I had not ever acquired the faith to pray the prayer of faith to see a real miracle take place. But I'll tell you what, we won't classify it as a miracle, but we prayed for Dave after being sick for 40 years with eczema. He'd been to the finest doctors in the world. Now, the doctors did the best they knew how, but the doctors didn't know that Dave had been afflicted by a curse from God with an incurable itch that cannot be healed. And so if God says, I'm going to afflict you with a curse that's an incurable itch that cannot be healed, I don't care how good the doctor is, there's no doctor in the world that can heal Dave. Is that right? If God said, I'm going to strike you with a curse, Deuteronomy 28:27 is where you find that curse, and he struck the grandmother and then the mother and then Dave, all of them right down the line, came through a generational curse with a curse that cannot be healed. And there was only one way to get Dave healed, and that's to find a man somewhere or a person somewhere that could take God's word and believe God's word with no doubt in his heart and stand on the promises of God and Dave hear and receive it and obey and get rid of sin and break the curses and believe by faith that it's going to work. And then it did work. And then Dave, 8 or 9 years, had been completely, totally healed from an incurable disease. Like so many people have told me, PhDs and everything else, people in the church, Thurman, you're too hung up on healing. Healing's not important. Salvation's what's important. No, there's a lot of people out there teaching salvation, a lot, but there's not many teaching healing. And healing is not important if you're walking in obedience to God's word and you're well, right, Lou? If you're healthy like Lou is today, you know, healing's not a problem, is it? Because you're well. But if you were sick tomorrow, you woke up in the morning, and of course, well, that ain't going to happen, but if you did wake up tomorrow and you felt lousy and rotten and you couldn't get out of bed or nothing else, all of a sudden you need a healing person, right? You'd be calling on Jesus. That's right. But see, the reason Lou's not going to be sick tomorrow because he's working on doing what Psalms 91 says. He's working on obeying God and making God number one in his life. And in that Psalms 91, it clearly says that if you make me the Most High God, your one and only God, then no plague shall come near your house. Is that what he said? So if we walk in obedience to God's word, if we meet the requirements of Psalm 91 all the time, there is no way you can ever have another sick day in your life if this book is true. Is this book true? Yeah. When we begin to come down with some kind of sickness or something begins to happen in our life, who should we look to? Get you a mirror. And look in the mirror and say, Lord, what did this guy do that's in this mirror? Because he or she done something wrong, right? And then when the Lord reveals to you what you done wrong, what should you do immediately? Repent. Repent and walk in obedience to his word. And then you can walk in divine health. Let me show you something here in Galatians 5:13-14. Let's start right there. In the King James, let's use the King James all the way through. I just happened to have studied that in detail the last day or two in the King James. So that's why I want to use the King James 13:14. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. What does it mean to be called into liberty? In other words, if I use the word freedom there, would it make more sense? But you know what? You and I have been called into freedom. Although the Lord Jesus Christ freed us totally, completely, most of us do not even begin to experience what it means to walk in total freedom. But He's called us to freedom. I was in the barbershop here a while back. And of course, wherever I am, there's only one thing comes out of my mouth. You know what that is? The Word of God. I don't talk about nothing else. I don't talk about the weather. I don't talk about the junk of the world. I'm talking about the King. I'm sitting there in the barber seat and talking about Jesus, and some guy all of a sudden he says, "Let me ask you a question." I said, "All right. What day of the week do you go to church?" I said, "I go to church every day, 7 days a week." "No, no, 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 no. There's got to be a day that you go to church." I said, "Okay, so I know you want me to say Sunday, so I'm going to say Sunday. I go to church on Sunday." He said, "See there, if you were really such a great Christian, you'd be going to church on Saturday." Because he said, "You're supposed to be going to church on Saturday. You're supposed to be obeying the Sabbath." I said, "I'm not under that law." He flipped out. "Everybody's under that law." I said, "Not me. I have total freedom in Christ Jesus." And that went over his head 9 miles high. Not 9 feet, 9 miles. But he didn't get it. I have experienced freedom in Christ. If I'm free, I am free. I'm not bound by nothing. I mean, no sickness, no disease, no nothing. I am not bound by nothing. That's how I've walked in divine health all these years. It says, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty," or freedom. Now, do not use your freedom for an occasion to the flesh. I've had people ask me, "Well, if you believe you're in freedom, do you believe you could smoke?" I said, "Of course I could. I have total freedom to smoke if I want to. It's a choice." But I said, "I know smoking is hard on my body, so I'm not going to defile my temple. But I have freedom to do it." "Well, do you believe you have freedom to drink beer?" I said, "Sure. If I want to drink a beer, I can drink one. If I want to drink wine, I can drink it." But I said, "I have total freedom, but I'm not going to allow anything on this earth to bind me up, and I'm not going to use it as an occasion to say that I have freedom. So I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to smoke. I'm not going to do any of those things, because all those things are hard on my body. And smoking is not a sin, but smoking will defile your temple, and it'll get you to heaven quicker. So why in the world would I want to get there quicker? I'm going to spend eternity with God in heaven. So why am I in a hurry to get there? Why should I not rather be alive and well down here and be used for His glory here? Because if there's any place He needs to be known, it's on this earth. The Lord Jesus Christ needs to be known, and He needs men and women on this earth that walk in obedience to His word, and you need to be able to walk in freedom. Somebody asked me yesterday at the healing school, they said, "Well, you know, so-and-so, they said they wasn't coming to the healing school because they are sick, and so they're going to lead people to Jesus through their sickness." I said, "No, they're not. They're just stupid." I said, "They're stupid." I said, "Being sick doesn't bring anybody to Jesus." I said, "Being well and walking in divine health, taking what Jesus gave you years ago, the price He paid for your healing so you can be well." I said, "Walking in divine health." I said, "I remember one time I went to a hospital. I was with a man, he was having all kinds of problems. He called me and I ran over to his house. He didn't live too far from me. And man, he was hurting and his chest was about to bust and all kinds of things. He wanted me to take him to the doctor. I said, "But let me pray over you." He said, "Well, just take me to the doctor." I thought, "It ain't going to do no good to pray for him. He ain't got no faith in nobody but a doctor." "Okay, so I'll take you to the doctor." So I took him in the car and loaded him up. I took him down to the hospital and we went in. And this nurse, we went back there and I went back there with him. But she didn't seem to be very nice. And so I said, "Ma'am, are you a Christian?" She said, "Blankety blank, no, I ain't no blankety blank Christian." I said, "Wow." I said, "What do you got against Christians?" I said, "Just think what Jesus done for us." She said, "Jesus didn't do nothing for us." She said, "You know how many people I see like him?" She said, "I guess you're going to tell me he's a Christian." I said, "Yeah, he's a Christian." She said, "Let me tell you, when I start seeing Christians that come down here and they're never sick, they don't have any pain and everything," she said, "when you show me a God that can do that for you," she said, "then I'll be interested in your God." But she said, "Until that time," she said, "I see more Christians sick than I do people that don't even profess to know Jesus." I thought, wow. I told her, I said, "Well, honey, look at me." She said, "So?" I said, "Does I look like I'm sick?" She said, no. I said, do I look like I'm in pretty good health? She said, yeah. I said, you know how old I am? She said, I have no idea. I said, I'm 60. She said, wow, 60. She said, you don't look nowhere close to 60. And I said, I ain't had a sick day in years. I found it in the Word. I said, he hadn't figured that out yet, but I did. So let me tell you, you've met one man that's walked with God and has no sickness in his life and ain't going to have no sickness. I said, now that's available to you. She said, you're the first one I ever met that said that. I thought, what a shame. All of us should be like that. But you know what so many people think when they meet me and listen to me talk for a little while? If it's the first time, some of them think I'm crazy. You know, Thurman's crazy. He's lost his mind. It's just like this week, Friday, I was in the propane place right here in Justin. About five women working there. There was two or three men in there to pay their bill. And as I was in the office, those girls were trying to take people's money. I went in to pay for my gasoline that I had purchased, my bulk gasoline. And one of the guys was saying something about the things that are going on and all this kind of stuff. And they were fussing about the price of everything. And I said, do y'all have any idea why all these things are happening? And they said, no, have no idea. I said, I got the answer. They all stopped and said, what is it? I said, it's sin. It's sin. I said, that's why we're all experiencing the problem we're experiencing, a sin. One of the girls said, what? You think all the problems we got is because of sin? I said, let me tell you. I said, I just talked to a woman just this last week. I said, she come out to my place screaming and hollering about, why is the world trying to take away my babies from me? I said, she was all upset. I told her, I said, woman, I said, you need to look in the mirror. I said, I'm going to tell you why the world's trying to take away your babies from you. I said, first of all, I know that I don't have any idea how many different men you've slept with in your life. But I know you've slept with at least three that produced a child. I know you've got three babies from three different men that you ain't never been married to. And you want to know when you go down to get a pregnancy check, when the government offices, when they check you and they find out you're pregnant and you've got drugs, marijuana or something in your urine or in your blood, and they're going to call CPS. You want to know why? I said, that's why. I said, you're living where you're living and they're taking your babies away from you because you're not fit to be a mother. I said, I guess you're going to tell me you call yourself a Christian. Yes, I am. I said, you don't know nothing the first thing about being a Christian. I said, you're walking in no total obedience to God's word. And that's why you're suffering what you're suffering. I said, you are lucky, woman. These three kids have even been born alive. Isn't that amazing? You see children all the time that die at birth. People say, it can't be sin. Go back and read the word. King David had wives. And he had sex with one woman that wasn't his wife and happened to be the wrong time of the month. And she got pregnant. And 9 months later, a little baby was born under her. And the scripture clearly says, and the Lord struck the child with sickness, and in 1 week the child died. Why did God strike that child with sickness? Was it because of sin? Sure, it's what it was. So why do you think he still does all these things? See? I have our answers to our problem, and I'll tell you why there's no power in the church today. Somebody told me at healing school yesterday, our pastor went to Rhema. We hear you talk about Rhema on some of your tapes. I said, yeah, I've been there several times. I said, our pastor, he believes the same things you believe. He knows a lot of scripture, but we don't ever see any power in our church. I said, I'll tell you why there's no power in your church. One of two, he may have it up here, but it's not become a revelation here. So I said, the man is not living what he's preaching. And they said, well, that's true. He's definitely not living what he's preaching. If you're preaching it and it's coming from here, then you're going to live it. It won't be no sin in your life. You won't never find you in bed with a woman you ain't married to. You won't never find you looking at a woman on the internet or in pornography. That won't never happen to a man of God that has the Word of God hidden in his heart, because he knows that's a sin against his God. Because if he's doing that in the darkness, I guarantee there'll be no power. You will never be able to pray and see miracles and healings. They will not happen. God requires his men that walk in his power to be holy. Is that what he said? I remember when God brought Cheryl into my life, after we'd been together for a couple of months, married. She said, honey, I never saw anybody walk where you walk. She said, you walk on razor blades. She said, but I'm going to walk with you if I have to walk on top of your feet. I'm going to do it. Because she saw in the very short period of time she was with me, she began to see awesome miracles when I prayed for people. She saw our Jesus show up to do things. And he don't do that for a man that's walking in sin. You want to see God do some wonderful things? You got to do what he says in his word. You got to be holy. I look at these ladies here on the front with all these beautiful little daughters, all these beautiful little girls. All these beautiful little girls is getting at the place of life where they're going to have to start guarding their self, because there's a boy out there somewhere that has one thing in their mind, and it's to conquer these girls sexually. Y'all know that? If you don't teach your children, they got to be on their guard, and it is not okay to have sex with nobody till you're married. And that's why we got so many children today that have all these venereal diseases. I have people all the time come to healing schools that want to be prayed for because of incurable diseases sexually. I have that regular. It's a regular thing. Church members, aren't we glad God is a forgiving God? Just like that little girl told me out there on the parking lot the other day. I went to a pastor, and he told me it was okay to have sex with this guy as long as I repented after I did it. I told you, you got some rotten advice. I said, you got advice from a man that's not a man of God. Well, look what the Lord says. You've been called to freedom. Only use not your freedom or your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Some of you may not think I'm trying to be your neighbor when I'm telling you these things, but you don't realize the love that comes from my heart to tell you the truth of God's word. You know why I do what I do? Because I love you. I really do. My goal in life is to get as many people set free from the forces of darkness and walk in total obedience to God's word as I can possibly take with me when I leave this earth. I want you to be a woman or a man of God. And it's not going to happen if I don't live it. It's just like the other day. I got real tickled. Rosemary had been to a school learning some stuff about therapy. And one of the ladies that went to the same class came out to see her. And Rosemary introduced me to her. Her name was Sharon. And she introduced me. I said, well, praise the Lord, young lady. How are you doing? And I said, isn't God an awesome God? Isn't this a beautiful day that the Lord made? Isn't he just such a wonderful God? Praise the Lord. And I walked out the door. And she looked at Rosemary and said, does he always do that? What did God tell us to do? Did he tell us to praise him? So why do you think I do it? Because I'm doing it because he told me to. Now, if the king tells you to do something, why aren't you doing it? You want to see him do great things? How many of you would like to walk in divine health the rest of your life? Hey, that's some of you. Did God say in that scripture in Psalm 91 that if you put him first and you're willing to say of the Lord, he's my refuge, he's my strength, he is of my God. Then he says, no plague shall come near your dwelling place. At the healing school, one of the persons I dealt with yesterday, I told him, I said, you know, you need to talk about Jesus where you're at. You need to start praying for the people where you are. But I'm a school teacher. I said, so? That's a perfect place to pray for the kids. But they would fire me. I said, you know, if you obey God and do what he says, he'll take care of you. I said, he did me. I said, I was threatened. I said, and they finally did fire me. They finally did. But I said, God put me in the ministry full time. And I said, I've never seen so many miracles and healings. I've never been so many places and traveled so much in my life. I could never have afforded to take vacations like Cheryl and I've had the privilege to travel all over this world to preach the word of God. And we got paid to do it. This may blow you away. You know, a trip to Norway for two is very expensive. But do you know the last two or three times we've been to Norway, I let this ministry pay for our total expenses. I didn't even charge the television network, nothing. The only thing they did was bought our food while we were there. We paid for our own airfare. We paid all of our own expenses. And I took no money. They offered to give me $1,000 a day to preach on television. For 10 days, that would have been $10,000. Does your job pay that kind of money? They offered me that. And I turned it down. I said, no. I'm going to come over here and preach to the people in Norway, and I'm not going to charge Norway anything to do it. And God blesses mine and Cheryl's socks off. He pays all of our bills. I mean, most people say, wow, if I can make $1,000 a day, I'll do anything for $1,000 a day. No, you need to be careful how you say that. There's a whole lot of things I won't do for $1,000 a day or $10,000 a day, right, brother? If it doesn't glorify my Lord Jesus Christ, you could give me all the money in the world and I wouldn't do it. You offer me $1,000 a day and let me preach on television to 150,000 people a day, twice a day, for 2 hours at a time, I do it for free. I didn't charge him nothing. He was awestruck. He said, Thurman, nobody comes over here and does this. I said, well, you run into one that does. I don't charge. I don't charge for nothing. And God blesses us. Isn't that amazing? The king says, give and it shall be given unto you. You can't outgive God. Not at all. I remember when I first got started in the ministry, and to this day I have no idea who did this. But I went to the post office. I needed money for the ministry to buy some VCRs and all kinds of stuff. I never asked nobody for money. I just pray and ask God, Lord, this is your ministry. You take care of it. So I went to the post office in Justin. There was a great big envelope about that big and about that thick. And it says, from TLSM to TLSM. I thought, wow, I wonder who that's from, because, you know, they put my address on both places. And so I got out in my truck and I opened that big old thing and it had two packages in it. And I pulled a package out and they were full of $100 bills. And I come home and I laid those out and counted those, and it was $10,200 in cash money in that envelope. And I have no idea where that came from to this day. No idea. I mean, if you need money, can God just manufacture it from nowhere? I used to work for a year for $10,000. I can remember whenever a long time ago when I was a young boy, when the banker in the hometown where I was raised, the president of the bank didn't even make $10,000 a year, and I didn't have to do nothing for that. God just give it to me to pay bills for this ministry. But $10,200 was in that envelope. I was so blown away. I thought, God, you're so awesome. And then, of course, when I needed that big twin-engine airplane, I asked the Lord, Lord, I'd like to have this airplane. Lo and behold, he sent a check the next day and paid cash for a twin-engine airplane for me. I never saw the day I made enough money to buy a twin-engine airplane. I couldn't even provided enough money to pay for the gas for that thing. But God can. Isn't that amazing? He's so amazing. But look what he says here. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. What is the only law you as a Christian, if you really get it in your spirit, what law are you under? Love. That's it, Rosemary. Love. That's the only thing you and I are bound to. Now, if you love, are you going to do any kind of sin to anybody? Are you going to hurt anybody if you love everybody? No, not at all. So that's why God says you fulfill all the law in this one thing, if you love. Pretty hard to do, isn't it? It's really hard. It really is. Some people are not easy to love. Some of y'all will say, yeah, my husband, he ain't very easy to love. Some of you girls, some of you guys will say, yeah, my wife, you ought to see my wife. If we have trouble loving our own spouse, and obviously we have lots of trouble with that. Now, if we obeyed that one law that we just read, how many divorces would there be in the church? I mean, if you loved your mate with all your heart, it wouldn't make any difference what kind of a bad day she had. I mean, everything in the world might be wrong, and you may come in and you say, hi, honey, is supper ready? She said, no, if you want some supper, you get in there and fix it yourself. I don't fix it. I ain't gonna do nothing for you no more. And you think, woo, wonder what I did. And it may not have been you at all. But see, that's where you find out whether you're made out of love or whether you're in a knockdown drag out in the next few seconds. And what's most of the church in? A knockdown drag out. That's right. We don't walk in love. It's okay as long as one of us steps out of love. But when both of us step out of love at the same time, that's when we have a major problem, isn't it? You know, like yesterday we was talking about God says forgive. You know, Peter said, Lord, if my brother or my wife sins against me up to 7 times in one day, is that okay? And what was the Lord's answer? Oh, my goodness gracious, 70 times. You mean you have to forgive these girls when they do something wrong up to 490 times a day? But we're not very good at obeying that. If we could just do what Peter said, if we could forgive just 7 times, there probably wouldn't be a single divorce in the church. You know that? But you know, we don't forgive. Sometimes somebody, one of your mate or something, says something or does something, and all of a sudden she says, I don't like what you said to me. I want a divorce. You ever heard anybody say that? One lousy, stinking little thing. Or, honey, I want you to run downtown right quick. I'm married to you now. You got to obey me. I've read that in the Bible. I've read in the Bible where you have to be subject to me. You have to obey me. So right now I'm in a hurry for something, and I want you to run down to the grocery store and get me a gallon of milk so I can have some gravy on my steak. Oh, run, get it right now. She said, well, honey, I haven't got time. I can't do that right now. What? You heard me. I told you that you're subject to me. You have to obey me now. Get down there. And so she said, I ain't going. He said, okay, I want a divorce. Have you ever seen or heard of anything like this? It happens every day in the church. I know I deal with them. I have people come to me. They can't get along. Well, how long y'all been having this problem? Well, it just started last week. Oh, I think, goodness gracious alive. We don't know what the word love means, do we? Love. I think about when my sister got killed in a car wreck and left three babies, Chuck, Ed, and Rick, my three little nephews from my sister. Their daddy, he had to work. He had to go to work to make a living. And so my mother, their grandmother, kept those boys. And I remember a young man from town. He came out there. He was a fine young man. He came and said, "Miss Scrivener, I know that these three boys must be a real burden upon you at your age, having to take care of three boys since your daughter got killed in that car wreck." So he said, "If you would like to, we would love to adopt Ricky." He was the littlest one. He was only just a few months old. Said, "We would love to adopt Ricky and have him as our son." And my mother said, "No, thank you. I'll make it." And I'll never forget what my mother said whenever he walked away after he left. She said, "Thurman, if I have to scratch with the chickens to provide food and everything for these babies, I will claw in the ground with my hands if necessary to feed these three babies. There won't nobody ever have these three babies but me." And I thought, now that's the love of a mother that really knows Jesus. You know that? She would do anything to keep those babies alive. Anything. And of course, everybody loved Grandma. I mean, them boys loved her. Everybody else loved her. You know, because she was a woman of love. She kept the criteria. And did you know that in the 60 years my mother and dad was married, in all of those years, I never heard my mother raise her voice to my dad. I never heard my dad raise his voice to my mother. I never heard them have a disagreement, not one time in their entire life. Now, I don't know anybody else like that today. I ain't met nobody else like that. Of course, I hadn't lived with anybody else either. You think that maybe because of their devotion to the Lord is why I'm where I am, huh, Joseph? Yeah. But you know, I did have a blessed life. But is that the kind of life that God commands all of us to live? Did he tell us to love? Yes, that's the kind of life. You are to love your spouse. It makes no difference what they do, what they say, what they smell like, or nothing else. You know, I can remember when Cheryl and I first got married. You know, I mean, she was always a late sleeper, so I'd get up early to go do something. I'd reach over to give her a kiss. You know, she's still laying there in bed. I reached over, and she said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "I'm going to give you a kiss." She said, No, I haven't brushed my teeth yet." I said, "Honey, I don't care if your teeth are brushed or not. I love you just like you are. You know, I'll give you a kiss. I don't care if your breath don't smell good. It don't make no difference to me." It took a while for that to soak in on her, that I loved her unconditionally. But she's got it down. She knows now that I love her unconditionally. Don't you, honey? She knows that. Is that what God commanded us to do? Love each other unconditionally? Yes, he did. Even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 15 and 16. But if you bite and devour one another, this is where so many of us live. Take heed that you be not consumed one of another. If you bite, we don't do that though, do we? Oh, no. Oh, we lie a lot too, don't we? But this is telling us what we should and shouldn't do, right? So how are we going to know what God wants us to do if we don't read the Word? We're not going to know, because if we're going to be led by the flesh, we're certainly not going to do it His way, are we? The flesh is always against God. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What in the world does it mean to walk in the Spirit? You know, I read that for years, and I had no idea what that means. I said, "Lord, you're telling me to do something. I don't have a clue what it means. Walk in the Spirit." Well, it took me years to figure it out. Finally, it became a revelation to me. If I'm in the Word every day and I begin to feed the Word of God into me, the Word feeds my spirit man. The flesh feeds my soul, my mind. So if I'm watching pornography on TV all day long or on the internet, guess what kind of a guy I'm going to be? A lustful, rotten, no good beast. That's what I'm going to be. But in fact, I'll tell you something. The other day, Cheryl and I was at dinner the other day after church, and we went down here to a little restaurant. We're having a hamburger or a burger, whatever it was, something to eat. And all of a sudden the TV says, Whitney Houston has just passed away. Cheryl said, oh my goodness. I had my back to the TV. She said, oh my goodness, the best singer in the world just died. I said, who's the best singer in the world? She said, Whitney Houston. I said, who? She said, Whitney Houston. I said, I don't know her. Never heard of her. And I've told that to people, and they say, you don't know Whitney Houston? And I said, she must not have been a Christian singer. I said, I'm not into music very much, but I do listen to a little Christian music, but I never heard the name, not one time. Now then, if you're not in the world at all, you don't know Whitney Houston. You don't know her. You never heard of her. But if you're into the world, you're listening to her music. I never heard one of her songs in my life. I don't even know what she sings. But obviously, she was a worldly singer. She moved on the hearts of people because she had sold, Cheryl told me, over 200 million albums. One of the best singers in the world. Cheryl said, and of course, Cheryl's got a good voice, so she knows. She said she had one of the best voices in the world. I said, obviously, God called her to do his work, and she turned her back on him. So that's why she died at a young age. She got into drugs, did everything wrong. That's not being led by the Spirit. That woman was totally led by the flesh. And when the Scriptures tells us, if you're led by the flesh, it will bring forth death. And that's what it did. So this beautiful woman with this beautiful voice, she didn't use it for God's glory. And so she died at a young age. Now, I know there's a lot of Christians and a lot of church leaders, big ones, maybe television, that'll totally disagree with what I just said. But what I'm telling you is in the Word. Sin brings forth death. And she didn't use her voice to glorify her God. If you're in the world singing the world's music, you ain't glorifying God. Now, some people may like her music. That's okay if you do. But I'm not into the world. I don't live in the world. I live being led by the Spirit of the living God. And you know where I get all of my information? From the Word of God. I lock myself up in my office day after day and read and study, sometimes hours at a time. And as I'm doing that, the Spirit of God is putting His words in my heart, telling me what He likes and what He doesn't like. And then when I'm out trying to do something, He always tells me what to do and what not to do. So that's just like a man and a woman standing right here the other day at a healing school. I have breast cancer in my right breast. I said, ma'am, you got an unforgiveness toward a woman that you know. No, sir, I guarantee I have no unforgiveness. I said, well, there's something wrong somewhere because with no unforgiveness, there's no breast cancer in a woman. She said, well, I'm assuring you, Mr. Scrivener, I have no unforgiveness towards no female. All of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord says, ask her if her husband's ever committed adultery on her. I said, ma'am, has your husband ever committed adultery on you? Yes, 15 years ago, but I forgive him. I said, but how about the woman? I said, oh, there's the problem. Now, how do you think I knew that problem? Who do you think showed me what the answer was? A man being led by the Spirit of the living God. He is feeding himself God's Word over and over and over, day in and day out. So the Spirit of God is alive and well inside of me, and He talks to me. And He was able to get that woman set free. Now, if I hadn't been spending the time with God and wasn't led by the Spirit, I would have been just as dead as they were, and I would have had no knowledge of what caused her problem. But who always knows the problem? Jesus always knows the problem. And He knew that that woman had not forgiven the woman that committed adultery with her husband 15 years ago. Yeah, she forgave him, but boy, she didn't forgive her. I can understand. But that's why no man married to a woman should ever commit adultery with another woman. Never. Because you just don't realize that God says He will judge that sin. And you're not walking in love. You're not walking led by the Spirit. You're being led by the flesh. There's very few men today that I've ever met, very few, that are led by the Spirit. Very few. They're rare. There's a lot of them led by the flesh. Lots of them. But not many that are led by the Spirit. But He says there, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I think about the other day. I was looking up some information about an airplane. I needed some parts for my airplane, and I was on the internet, and I clicked on a website that was aviation, I thought. And it pulled in the most graphic pornography I had ever seen. It was just on the screen for a second. Click, and I throwed it away. I thought, now how in the world did that get there? didn't move me at all. Not at all. So praise God, I'm led by the Spirit. So I go back and I do this again, and the same picture comes up again. So I cancel the second time and I go get Dave. I said, Dave, I don't know why this is coming up on my computer, but we got to figure out why. We got to stop this. So Dave come back, and he first two or three times he hit it. Man, first time he come up, this picture come up on the screen. Man, he clicked it and throwed it away. And then after that, he was smarter than me in computers. He could see the topic that was going to come. And so he would hit a website, and when he'd see a certain title that's going to come up there, he'd cancel it before it came up on the screen. See, he's a whole lot sharper on computers than I am. He knows them much better than I do. And that's why I went to him. And then he finally got it all cleaned off, and I don't know, maybe reformatted it. I don't know what all he did. But I've never seen that picture again. Now, the enemy out there is doing everything he can to draw men's attentions to pornography. He loves it when he deceives you. And if you're not being led by the Spirit, you'll be drawn off by the flesh every time. It'll be no problem to sit there and look at you and think, well, I'll just go ahead and look at this. Nobody will know. But who's sitting there looking over your shoulder? Jesus, the King of Kings. I know he don't like that at all. You know, he doesn't like you to be involved in pornography. He wants you to have a clean, pure heart. This I say, when you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because the lust of the flesh wants to see these things. That's the flesh. Okay, verse 17 and 18. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would, but if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, I've heard all kinds of people talk about law. In fact, last time I was at GLC, I talked about law at the request of the owner, because they're a Torah or a law teaching station. GLC is. But the daughter of the owner of the station was on the set with me, with her mother. And the last hour, when we talked about being led by the Spirit and we're not under law, that I think for the first time in her life, she was awestruck. She said, I understand this for the first time ever in my life, what the difference is between law and grace. Now, you and I today, if we're sons of God, but what does that say? In verse 18, Everybody that's a Christian is not under the law. Is that what that said? Oh, not exactly. I mean, I'm a Christian, so I'm not under law. I hear that all the time. I'm a Christian, I'm under grace, so I'm not under law. But you're sick, or you're afflicted, or you're broke. You can't find a job. All kinds of things. Now then, if you're walking in obedience to God's word, he promised to meet every need you have, right? In fact, I think about this young man right up here. Last week, we prayed for you a job. Last week, this boy come here and said, sir, I can't find a job. I said, you repent of every sin, I'll pray the prayer of faith for you, and I guarantee God will give you a job. And what happened? He got a job. Isn't that amazing? I mean, when we pray in faith, when we obey God and do what he says, he hears our prayer. And I have no idea how many people I've prayed that prayer for. And one, the quickest one, we prayed for a young man. He'd been looking everywhere in the world for a job. He couldn't get one nowhere. He came here and said, sir, I understand God answers your prayer. I need a job. I said, okay, you promise God you'll walk holy before him, and I'll ask him to give you a job. I said, how quick you need it? He said, man, I need to go to work in the morning. I said, okay, Father, in the name of Jesus, give him a job. He left. He got to paradise. That little station down here at 30 called us back and said, a guy just called me on my cell phone and told me I could go to work in the morning. Why does God do those kind of things? Why could that boy be looking for a job all that time and couldn't get one when he came out here and we prayed? Because we, at this ministry, are being led by the Spirit. And we're walking in love. When we're led by the Spirit, does God answer our prayers? Every time. He never says no. He answers our prayer every time. He'll answer our prayer. That's why we see so many miracles and healings in this place. Because everybody in this place, everybody. Well, I got tickled at Kathy. Kathy, you know, she's like 33 years old or whatever, you know, and I don't think in all the years I've known Kathy, she's ever even had a date. She's a beautiful little lady. She works for me. She's a sweetheart, and she's got a little daughter. Of course, she got pregnant at a young age, like 17 or 18, and had this little girl. When I met her, Kathy was living in a car with a baby. I led her to Jesus, got her saved, got her filled with the Holy Ghost, started helping her. Taking her to church, all kinds of things, totally. And God is so amazing. Kathy knew nothing about the church. She had never been taken to church. She knew nothing about the gifts of the Spirit. And I prayed for Kathy, and Kathy got the gift of being filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. It's so amazing. And so she started coming to the Baptist church where I was a Sunday school teacher. And she'd come up there and she's so on fire. She's telling everybody that Thurman led me to Christ and Jesus is doing wonderful. And then she'd break into tongues and start speaking in tongues. And I remember two or three of the ladies she was talking to one day, and she didn't even realize she's talking in tongues. She's just talking to them. And I thought, Lord, you're doing something wonderful here. And she got through, and all of a sudden she went back to speaking normal. Kathy never even knew she was speaking in tongues. I remember one of those ladies walked over to Kathy and said, Kathy, that's okay, honey. It'll all be different in time. Just be patient. She said, well, Thurman, what do they mean? I said, Kathy, you talked in tongues a little while. I did. I didn't even know it. I said, Kathy, don't ever let that fire go out. Don't ever let that fire go out. So, of course, Kathy's been working for me for years here. She's a sweetheart. And the other day, a pastor asked her for a date. And she went. On the first date she's been on in, I don't guess she's been in one since she got pregnant and had that little girl out of wedlock. But her little girl is now 14 years old. And I'm going to guarantee you, you could take every one of us in this room together. Every one of you in this room, excluding my staff, not counting them, but the rest of us, everybody in this room, and I could take every verse every one of y'all know and add them all up, and I guarantee her 14-year-old knows more verses than every one of you put together. That little girl knows hundreds and hundreds of verses. Yeah. I mean, 14 years old? It's awesome what God is going to do with that little girl. Yeah, well, she's 13 right now. She's not 14 yet, but she's going to be soon. But anyway, the other night, Kathy had a date. And whenever they went to eat, of course, she's been so used to opening her own door and getting out. You know, she just did that. And the pastor said, Kathy, sit there and don't move. She thought, what? And he gets out and goes around. And he said, this is what gentlemen do for ladies. They open the door. And so Saturday morning, I come back to get me a cup of hot tea. And Kathy got her some coffee. And as we're going back, she was in front of me. She stopped. I opened the door for her, and she said, I'm having to learn how to be a lady. You know, I'm going to tell you what. The mothers and fathers that teach their children how to be gentlemen and ladies has gone away in the United States of America. Yep. We don't teach our daughters how to be ladies, but we need to. Like the little girl the other day that came at the DFW airport when I was out there getting ready to go somewhere. This little girl walked by me, and I guarantee the bottom of her skirt was right there. And she was carrying a pillow in her hand. And she sat down directly in front of me. And when she sat down, she laid the pillow on her lap. I said, young lady, are you a Christian? She said, yes. I said, then why are you wearing such a short dress? I said, God told you not to dress to draw attention to your body. And I said, with that dress, I said, without that pillow laying in your lap, I said, you couldn't hide anything you got. I said, it'd all be public information. So I said, you know, you need to get a grip, girl. You need to dress. If you're a woman of God, I said, you're not yet, but if you confess or profess to be a Christian, you need to go home and take that stupid skirt off and put one off that goes down below your knees so nobody can see your bottom. I said, you know, that's why young girls get raped. I said, they get raped. Men get turned on by what they see. And I said, that's why you're going to get raped if you don't stop wearing dresses like that. I said, you wear something that'll cover your body up. I don't know what she thought about that because she never said a word. But she ran into an old guy that ain't afraid to tell her the truth. For right here in the scripture says, the flesh lusts against the spirit. You know, a young boy that had been sitting right there, you know what he'd been thinking? You know where he'd been looking the whole time? He's trying to see under that pillow, right? That's the way they're made. That's the way God made them. Do you girls all know I'm telling y'all the truth? You know, I had a girl tell me the other day, said, I am even not dating men in the church anymore because every time I go with a man, all he wants to do is have sex. The first day, the first night that he don't want me to do nothing. He just wants me to get on my back and have sex with him. That's all he wants. Said, make it either church members or not church members. That's all they all want is just sex. I thought, boy, that don't say much for us, does it? You know, you date a woman one time, you ain't going to treat her like a lady. You just want her to have sex with you. That's all. You don't even want to take her to dinner. You just want to have sex with her. I thought, boy, that's the world. It shouldn't be the church. But the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the spirit, you are not under the law. So if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under law. So if you're in the Word and the Word has become a revelation to you and you're walking in total obedience to God's Word, you're studying the Word every day, meditated on it, then you are being led by the Spirit. And whenever the flesh wants to do something, what will the Spirit immediately tell the flesh to do? Not do it. You see some girl come in with a real short skirt on, the flesh wants to look. But the Spirit will say, no. Okay, you can look, but when you look, look her right in the eye. You can't look below her eyes. Look her right in the eye. It's okay. Look her right in the eye. It's okay. Is that right? Yeah. You don't ever look at a woman nowhere else. Look her right in the eye. 19 and 20. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Now we're going to find out what you're led by. So he doesn't leave anything for our imagination. Now then, if you're led of the flesh, these are the things you're going to do. Number one, adultery and fornication. Isn't that amazing how he put those first? Adultery and fornication. I mean, you can watch any television show. If you have a TV in your house and you don't have some kind of blocker on the channels and you got a teenage child, or I don't care what the child is, 10 years old, 12 years old, whatever, if you're letting them watch the trash of the world, even the cartoons of the world, I'm going to tell you what. Here a while back I told my son, he was limiting his children to the cartoons. And I was over there one day and I said, son, these cartoons, they're not glorifying God. And you need to stop your children from what? Oh, Dad. You know, he said, we watched the Smurfs when we were there. I said, yeah, the only reason y'all got to watch the Smurfs is because I wasn't where I am today. I said, but I've learned since then. I said, if I had been walking then where I am today, you kids would have never watched the Smurfs. I would have never allowed it. He said, well, Dad, I don't think there's any problems. Only a few days later, his little son got up on top of the cabinet with his cape on and jumped off of the cabinet on back of their big black dog and stabbed him twice with a knife. I heard about that. I said, now you think maybe he's watching too much cartoons? Well, where do you think he learned that trash? Television, that's exactly right. So he's restricted what they watch now a whole lot more than he used to. You see, you're living in a home of a Christian man, a Christian woman, and you got a boy that's 8 years old, and he puts on his cape. Where do you think he learned that stuff? Television. And then he's got this knife that he found on the kitchen cabinet, a sharp knife, and he jumps off on the back of the dog and stabs the dog twice. Had to take the dog to the vet. Thank God he didn't hit anything that was critical. That's my own grandson did that. He was 6 when that happened. Yeah, 5 or 6 years old. Yeah, like I'm telling my son, he's watching too much television. And I'll tell you, we watch too much television. We may not be 6 or 8 years old. We may be 20, 50 years old. Whatever we are, you can't watch the junk of the world. If you do, you're going to be feeding the flesh, and the flesh is going to overcome the Spirit, and you ain't going to walk in the Spirit. And you're going to wonder why it brings forth an early death to your house or some kind of devastation to you. You're going to wonder why there's no power. You can't pray for nobody and see God do nothing because there's no power in you because you're led by the Spirit or led by the flesh. The flesh commits adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, and lasciviousness. You know what those two words mean? That is the most vile kind of wickedness. You think about a couple of homosexuals. You talk about a couple of lesbian women. You think about the foul things they do with each other's bodies. That's what that's talking about. That's the kind of lasciviousness and wickedness we're talking about. Perversion to the highest degree. I mean, when they showed the video about what was going to happen in New Orleans before Decadence Day, I was blown away at the trash. I can't believe human beings can do those kind of things to each other's bodies. But it's wicked. But the Lord says, if you're led by the flesh, that's what you're going to do. And to think there's Christian people that go down there to Decadence Day to see what's going on. I used to have a building. I built a building in New Orleans and I had to go down there for 20 years. But I made sure I never went during Mardi Gras. I didn't want to be nowhere close to that sin trap. It was bad enough. I went down there when I was building the building, when it was just a normal week. I stayed in the Marriott Hotel downtown while I was building that building. And one time my VP, my executive VP, come down to see how I was doing. He brought a couple of guys with him, engineers and architects and so forth, and they wanted to walk down Bourbon Street. They said, what's down Bourbon Street? I said, I don't know. I ain't never been down there. But Thurman, you're right here. I said, it may be okay. I may be staying in this hotel, but I don't go outside this hotel. I don't go out to the sin places of the world. He said, well, let's go down. I want to see. Okay, so I went with him. We go down there. We go in a place, and I saw some of the most wicked things. I saw men dressed up like women. I saw women dressed up like men. I saw men and women doing some of the most wicked things I've ever seen in my life. I couldn't believe it. I told him, I said, this is my first and last trip to Bourbon Street. You can be assured I will never feed this trash into my heart again. Yet there's people go down here every year and walk up and down those streets, go in those bars and let those people handle them and everything else. Wow, you got to be kidding me. But that's the works of the flesh. Fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Wow, is there more? 21 and 22. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've told you times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So you tell me you're a Christian and you're living in that stuff right there? You die? You're going to get to go to heaven? How many people do we know today that say they're Christians? Even some of them go to church, but they're living in the world. And they're doing a lot of those things, right? Getting drunk every Friday night, you know, or every Saturday during the week, but yet they repent on Saturday and, okay, Sunday, I'm okay. Or they've been out sleeping around with all kinds of people, having sex with all kinds of people, and they say, well, I'll just ask God to forgive me. He'll forgive me. Since I've got all these young girls here today, I'm going to tell them the story about the little girl that was 15 years old that moved in with a non-believer. 15. How old are you? 14. See, he wasn't but a year older than this one. A year older. And she moved in with a boy that she was not married to. And her daddy asked me to come tell her that what she was doing was sin. He said, I've tried to tell her, but she won't listen to me. So I went and I told her. I said, honey, are you really a Christian? She said, well, yes, sir. I said, well, the Word of God says you're not to be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. That means in marriage. But I said, you know, you moved in with a boy. And I asked him if he's a Christian. He said, no, I'm not a Christian. I don't want to be one. I said, so you are breaking God's spiritual laws when you moved in with this boy. And I said, you know what God says about this? She said, no, what? I said, he says in 1 Corinthians 3:16-17, that if you defile your temple with sexual immorality, he will destroy your temple. I said, you know what that means? She said, I have no idea. I said, honey, let me read it to you real clear. If you defile your temple with sexual immorality, God will kill you. I said, that's as clear as I know. Where he says he will destroy your temple, I said, he means he's going to kill you. She said, Mr. Scrivener, God would never hurt me. He loves me. I said, he loves you all right, but he will chasten you, and if you don't obey him, the day will come when he will kill you. She said, I don't believe that at all. So she wouldn't leave. So she stayed with that boy. And of course, you know, when a boy and a girl sleep together, 15, 16 years old, and he's 18 or 20 years old, what usually happens? They get pregnant. And she did. And she brought a baby into the world. And of course, the baby seemed to be okay. Praise God for that. So her daddy wanted me to go again. So after the baby got a few months old, I went again and tried to tell her, no, she ain't listening. She ain't moving out. She's not changing. I kept telling her, I said, honey, he's going to kill you. He's going to kill you. He said he wouldn't have worried. She said, Mr. Scrivener, I have never heard that nowhere in my life. I don't know, believe that. Where it says he will destroy my temple, that doesn't mean he'll kill me. I said, well, then what do you think it means? She didn't know. I said, I'll tell you what it means. He means he'll kill you. No, no, God loves me. He will not kill me. He wouldn't hurt me. God would never kill anybody. Well, yeah, he's killing people every day. We just don't understand it. So 3 times I visited that girl over the next 5 years. She would not do what I told her to do. So after she had the 3rd baby, 3 babies now out of wedlock, living with a man she ain't married to, and the Word of God says, if you're my child, which she said she was, he said, you defile my temple with sexual immorality, I will destroy that temple. Let me tell you what, I went the 3rd time and told her, and she would not. She said, I don't believe that. I do not believe God would hurt me at all, much less kill me. She said, besides that, I repent for my sins. I said, you don't know what the word repentance means. So I left, and about a month later, that baby was just a month or 2 old. And the boy and her and the baby went to bed together that night. And the next morning, the boy woke up and the baby woke up. But that little girl had a massive heart attack and was hard, cold, dead. Last week, I showed Cheryl where she was buried out there at Justin Cemetery. I said, there's the little girl right there. And I told her 3 times what God said, and she wouldn't hear me. So she's died. And you know what? Although she said she was a Christian, according to that, she went to hell. Is that scary? I mean, what does that say? As I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. To me, that's scary. Somebody said, well, maybe you're wrong. Yeah, maybe, but let me tell you, I ain't taking no chances. I ain't going out and sleep around with somebody that I ain't married to, taking a chance just because I'm a Christian, and then I die in that sin. I might not go to hell, but that might be right. And if it is, I don't want to open my eyes in hell. Do you, Scott? No, there ain't nothing in this world good enough to go to hell for. Not nothing. But obviously, there's a lot of people don't think so. But let's look what verse 22 says there. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Wow. What's the next verse say? Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lust. Now then, if we really are Christians, and if we're being led by the Spirit, then we take the flesh man and we nail it to the cross. And he's pinned down. He can't go nowhere. So he can't do nothing. Is that what we do? That's what we do. If you're a Christian, a real Christian, you nail your fleshly lusts to the cross. And it can't go nowhere. And then you're going to obey the Spirit. You're going to stay in the Word of God. And as you stay in the Word of God, you're going to read these kind of things over and over and over. And your spirit man is going to become so full of the Word of God that whenever any kind of fleshly thing tries to come to you and get you to do something wrong, you're going to say, I'm a son of God. I don't do those kind of things. You know, can you imagine that you're working at a bank and you're a Christian and somebody comes by and says, if you'll go with me tonight, I'll show you how to make $1,000,000. Nobody will ever know. That sounds like the flesh to me, doesn't it, you? Deceiving. And see, I mean, if you're led by the Spirit at all, when the devil or when the flesh comes and wants you to do something wrong, what are you going to immediately do? You're going to throw it away. You ain't going to go there with it. You're not about to step into that realm of sin. Your spirit man's in there saying, don't do that. You've got the Spirit to guide you. And if you're led by the Spirit of God, He will never let you go down the wrong path. You really got to be dead to go down the wrong path. If you're in the Word, it won't ever happen. If you're making the Most High God, just like that Psalm 91 Dave read to you, if you're making the Most High God your dwelling place, I mean, if you're living in Him, I mean, and you're saying, He is my Lord alone, He's my God, in Him do I trust. And He says, then no plague, no sickness, no disease shall come near your house. How much? None. I don't want to be sick. No way. It's so much better to be able to get up every morning, go to work and be well and know Jesus, right? And be an honest man. And when you do work for people, do good work, and the Lord will bless your socks off. I'm telling you, this book means exactly what it says. Verse 25 and 26. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So if you live in the Spirit, obey Him. Do what He says. In other words, don't say you're a Christian living in the Spirit, and then somebody says something and a whole line of foul words come out of your mouth. I have people all the time that tell me they're Christians. Oh, it happens regularly. People come out here to talk to me, and we're standing outside, we're sitting in my office, we're in here, whatever, and sometimes I'll hear them speak in a 20 or 30 minute time with them. I'll hear them use 3 or 4 or 5 foul words. And sometimes I'll wait till they do it 3 or 4 times. And then I'll say, you know, I thought you was a Christian. Well, I am. I said, well, you know that the Lord says in His Word, let no foul words come out of your mouth. Not one. Well, I hadn't said anything wrong. I said, you don't think you said anything wrong? No. And then I say, you know, do you consider the words like GD when you speak that? You consider that a bad word? Oh, I didn't know I said that. Well, you know the word B when you talk about a woman? That B, y'all know what I mean? You don't think that's a bad word? Well, or when you're getting so angry at somebody, you say that D person, you don't think those are bad words? And they don't even realize they're saying those words. It's like I had a woman 3 times last week. She used those foul words. And I finally told her, I said, that's it, woman. I said, you say one more foul word, I'm going to throw you off my property. I said, I ain't going to let you come out here on my place and speak like that. I said, I don't speak like that. I don't allow nobody in this place to speak like that on this property. This is holy ground you're on, girl. And she said, I didn't say anything bad. Cheryl was sitting right there. Well, she said, you did. I heard every one of them. Now, how does Cheryl and I pick up on both of on those every time? And she don't get it. We're led by the Spirit. She's led by the flesh. So she don't even realize what she's saying. I told her, I said, turn your brain on, girl. Go home and get in the Word. That's what we need to do, right? Go home and get in the Word of God. You know, you would think, how could you possibly use those foul words and not even know you're using them? You're pretty dead, aren't you? Yeah, you're pretty dead. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. That's pretty awesome. Now go to Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through 10. Wow, and then we'll be through. Galatians 6, 7 through 10. Galatians 6, 7 through 10. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, isn't that something? You think God knew every word every one of us say every day? He knows every. He even knows what's in our heart before we speak it, don't we? That's scary, isn't it? There's been a few times in my life before I really began to become really led by the Spirit of God that bad words would come into my heart. I would want to say something, but I knew better. I would not let it come out of my mouth. But now then, I've asked the Lord to take that all away, and those things don't even come up. Praise God. I don't even have to worry about it. They don't even come up. I remember one day I was driving down the road going to Dallas, and I had a Christian man with me, and we were looking for a road, and we were talking, and all of a sudden I looked up, and there was the road, and man, I've already passed the dividing thing. Y'all know you've probably done this yourself. And I looked up, and there it was, and of course I looked right quick, but you know, I'm turning at the same time. And, of course, as I'm turning, I look, and there's a car right there. And, man, he goes whooping by, honking his horn at me and all this stuff, thinking, you idiot, you know, don't you know where you're going? And, of course, the guy liked to hit us on the side. And, of course, it was on his side. And so he screamed out a word, those awful words. And when the guy got by us, I told him, I said, you know, now, until just now, I really thought you were a Christian. But I said, can you imagine if he had hit us and killed both of us, and that's the last words you said before you stood before your king? Can you imagine taking his name in vain, and then you get killed, and that's the last words you said on this earth, was you profaned the name of God? Would that be a good way to get to heaven? Do you think the king would be happy with you? I don't think he would. So I said, he said, well, how do you not do that? I said, you get in the book, and you read the book, and you ask the Lord to take away all those things. And I said, he will do it. He will cleanse and purify your heart. Because be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So let's say a man's out here. And of course, the first two bad things he said that we do in the flesh was what? Adultery and fornication. Is that what he said? Because isn't that the two major sins that are out there today? Yeah, it is. It's out there. I mean, they're everywhere. So if a man is a preacher, like here a while back, I had a preacher, an Assembly of God preacher from Atlanta or somewhere down there in Georgia. He called me, and him and his wife was having problems. And I said, well, why is there a problem? He said, we've been listening to your stuff, and we want to get you to pray for us. And I said, okay, so they're both on speakerphone, and I said, so ma'am, I said, what is your problem? Why can't you get along with your husband? Well, she said, he's been committing adultery on me. I said, sir, you say you're an Assembly of God pastor in a church? Yes. I said, so you're committing adultery with another woman in your, I said, is she in your church? He said, yes. And then his wife come on and said, he's not committing adultery with one, but three. And I'm having a problem forgiving him. You can understand that, huh? Three women, this guy, which calls himself a pastor, is committing acts of sex with three different women in his church. And she said, I am fed up with it. I want a divorce. I said, well, I said, do you and him have any children? She said, well, I have three children. I said, now, wait a minute. Do you two have three children? She said, well, no, he has no children, but I have three children. I said, so how long were you married before you came to him? Well, she said, he's my only husband. I said, now, wait a minute. You're telling me that you have three kids? I says, were they all by the same man? She said, no, they were by three different men. And I said, you got three kids by three different men. and you're upset at him because he's having sex with three different women. I said, you know what I would do if I was God to both of you? I said, I'd kill both of y'all. I'd kill both of you. But I said, y'all better be glad that God is merciful. I said, if you two would both repent and tell God how sorry you are for what you're doing, I said, he will forgive both of you. But I said, when you repent, I said, sir, that means you as a pastor, you're never to look at another woman except the one you're married to. Can you do that? He said, I will. I said, ma'am, God tells you to forgive him even up to 490 times. And I said, you shouldn't have a problem forgiving him for the three different women he's had committed adultery with, because you've had sex with who knows how many men and you brought three children into the world. So I said, you are just as guilty as he is. So I said, you two need to forgive each other and start over down a brand new path. And the last time I talked to them, they were going down that path. They were still together, raising those kids together. They were both walking in obedience to God's word, and he was not committing any kind of adultery. But I told him, I said, you know, when you think you can get by with this and you have sex with another woman that's not your wife, I said, God's not going to be mocked. Somewhere along the line, you're going to be found out. And it's going to happen. Why do people think they can get by with anything when God is standing right there watching you all the time? Isn't that something? Yeah, they're brain dead. That's exactly right. They are brain dead. But, wow. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life eternal. Now, I think how many women have come to me, and men, both ways, but sometimes most is a woman. She'll come to me and say, you know, I went out and had sex with two guys. My husband, he and I couldn't get along. We had a divorce. And I went out and had sex with two men. And the first one I had sex with, I caught an incurable venereal disease. Does God say that's what's going to happen to you? Does he say he's going to judge it? You know, isn't it amazing that this woman had been married to this man? She had had sex with him all of her life with no venereal diseases. And then all of a sudden she divorces him and has sex with one other man, one man, illegally, breaks God's spiritual laws, and she catches an incurable disease that cannot be healed, according to the doctors. Now, like I said before, praise God for good doctors. You know, there is some people that if you hadn't had a good doctor to do surgery on you or to give you medication, you might not be here today. You know that? They can do good things for you. But I'm going to tell you what, if you will do what I tell you to do from God's word, what he said, I guarantee you won't never need a doctor for anything very serious. You won't ever have to have one. You know, now, of course, I know the doctors are not going to like that because they can't make much money if you don't go down there. But you don't have to worry. The world is plenty messed up, and there are going to be plenty of need for all the doctors in the world and plus a bunch more. You ain't going to have to worry about that. So if we can teach us, the church, to walk holy in obedience to God's word and do what the king says, it can't be any clearer than just in Psalms 91 that if you obey me and do what I say, I will take how many plagues away from you? All of them. You won't have no sickness and no disease, but you have to obey God. Now then the last verse, verse 9. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let us not be weary in well doing. That's what I'm trying my best to not do. Not to be weary in trying to do good, because you have no idea the kind of issues that I have been through in my life trying to teach God's word like it's written. I have been chastised by the church. I've been chastised by PhDs. I've had men come out here and tell me. In fact, I had two men stand right there the other day and I told them the story of Jenna, both of them pastors. When I told them the story of Jenna and how that it was a mother's sin that caused that little girl to be sick like that, and that when I found that sin, I asked them, when the mother repented and I prayed the prayer of faith, God healed that little girl completely, totally within 2 weeks. Well, we'd been praying for her for a year and a half with no results. But when we found the sin and found it was a mother's sin, God finally had to reveal it to us. That's the only way we found it, is that I told her to, and him both, her and her husband both, to plead with God to tell them what sin they committed that made their little girl sick. When I told those two pastors that, one of them said, Thurman, if you were in my church, I said, I'm Assembly of God pastor, and if you were to tell that story in my church would probably throw you out. They would think you were crazy. That the sins of the parents can cause the child to be sick. But it's written in the Word. Where did I learn it? In the Word. You can't learn those kind of things nowhere else. But when you get in the Word and let the Spirit lead you, He will reveal these things to you. And then you get to walk in divine health yourself, and you get to get people healed. And don't you love it when you get healed? Do you want to be sick? No. Don't you love being well, young lady? I do too. Wow. So, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow is what's going to come back to you. Make sure, all you little ladies, make sure you walk holy before God. Because I'll tell you, the world will lead you astray. And you're going to have to stay in the Word. When you're 14 or 15 years old, you're approaching a critical time in your life. You're going to have to stay in the Word. You're going to have to obey the Word. These two mothers here, they know I'm telling their daughters the truth. They know. Wow. Well, Father, I praise You and thank You for this beautiful day. I thank You for Your Word that You alone give us. I thank You for Your Holy Spirit that leads us. When we get in Your Word and study Your Word, Your Spirit leads us. It directs us. It reveals the truth to us. And I praise You and thank You for the Spirit of the living God. Without Him, we're in big trouble. But Lord, thank You for Him. And thank You for being so merciful to us and waiting on us while we get in Your Word and study Your Word and come to the point where we reach the point where Your Spirit from Your Word teaches us and shows us and reveals Himself to us, that we can walk holy, walk in obedience to Your Word, walk with no sin. We can be blessed by Your Holy Spirit. And then we can pray for people and see You do the great and mighty miracles that You can do because we have faith in You, Jesus. It is faith in You is the way we get this done. It's by Your holiness and Your purity and by faith in You that we see You do these things when we're led by the Spirit of God. Thank You, Father. Now, Lord, challenge us, bless us, send us out this week, and let us be challenged to walk a holy, clean, pure life before You so that You can bless us, so we can pray and see wonderful, awesome things happen. I praise You and thank You for being our God. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.